Hello and welcome to CC Natters. So this week we're going to be talking about something really interesting, Illy.
Yeah, this week we're looking at the will of God.
Yeah.
So when we talk about the will of God, what do we really mean? We're talking about making right decisions. Ideas that we have about the will of God. You want to get married?
Mm-hmm.
People go, do you know if he's the will of God for your life?
Yeah.
You know, this person you're getting married to, is that the will of God
Mm-hmm.
for your life?
Mm-hmm.
Some people think, oh, I can hear God for myself.
Yeah.
I know what his will is for
Me.
Some people can't, so they kind of go to their pastor and
Yeah.
just think,
Somebody else to think it's closer.
Is it the will of God for my life? Or you're speaking to your friend, oh, I'm just wondering, this career I'm going into, you know, I don't know if it's God's will for me. And the whole thing could be because you're looking for a safety net. Because if it's God's will, then it's going to be safe. But even if it's unsafe,
yeah,
I'm sure that it's going to be okay because I know that that was what
he
God's
intended.
will is.
It gives you that comfort.
Yeah, so you're in that place where you're thinking, oh, do I know God's will? You know, so when you think about God's will, you're thinking about your own free will, your ability to choose. So when you're thinking about God's will, you're thinking, is this what God is choosing for me? So you find that the crossroads you get to, thinking about the will of God, is at the crossroads of making decisions. And that may be because, you know, you go to scenarios in the Bible, you're thinking, oh, when they made a poor choice, you know, then they weren't in God's will. So that's kind of why we're going into what's the
this
will of God today, because it's crippled a lot of people. And it still does.
Welcome to CC Natters, where we challenge the norms and break free from the walls of religion. Because as Christ's cities, we're called to stand out like a city on a hill that cannot be hidden.
My name is Aliela.
And I am Mo.
Yeah,
let's start the conversation. Good. Just to give some background, when it comes to decisions that you make in life, when things go right, it tends to suggest that you're in line with God's purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's not, then you must be that you were outside it.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I'll be transparent enough to say that it's still something that I find myself grappling with sometimes. It's easy for you to see how God is in something when it looks good. When it doesn't look good, you question it. And the question is, have I done something? This trajectory, it just keeps happening. I'm jaded.
Mm-hmm.
They're having so many misfortunes. And I think that for a lot of people, as they walk with God, this is what keeps them in the something I've done has put me so far down that as a result, I'm out of his will. And if I'm out of his will, then basically,
you're on your own.
I'm on my own. Yeah, exactly. It causes a lot of insecurity for the believer because it affects our everyday decisions.
I think that the way to look at it is, understand what God's language is. God's language was revealed in Jesus. Who Jesus is what God wants us to know. Who Jesus is how God wants to communicate with us. He says, like, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased, hear ye him.
Mm-hmm.
And if all Jesus came to do was empower us with the Holy Ghost so that we become God-men, we are not subject to God's will,
rather we are partakers.
So Jesus was having a conversation, I think in Matthew. He said, oh, if you do the will of my Father, you will be saved. If you have a prior knowledge of what the will of the Father is, you'll be thinking, oh, if I do that thing, that's what I'll be saved. But you then find out in John chapter 6, he said, this is the will of my Father. The will of the Father is that none should perish, but that all should come into the knowledge of him, which is salvation.
Right.
So when we talk about the will of God is salvation.
Pure and simple.
Pure and simple. The will of God is not the choices. Am I walking in the choice we make? Or, you know. And I think that it will be a lot for people to accept.
Yeah.
To say, because the will of God is salvation. Come on, Jesus was at Gethsemane. And when he was at Gethsemane, he said, oh, if it's possible, let this cup pass over me. Then he says, oh, not my will, but your will be done. But when Jesus said that, what was he speaking to?
What was he speaking to?
It was speaking to salvation that was going to come by his death.
When he said, not my will.
Yeah.
Because if Jesus is God's presentation of himself, he said, not my will. There's a bit of a dissonance there.
Because I get why that could actually really be.
Yeah.
But I love that Jesus said that everything he was doing was what he saw his father doing. And everything he was doing was bringing to life the heart of the father.
Yeah.
You know, he said to his disciples, even before he got to Jerusalem, when I get to Jerusalem, they're going to bundle me. They're going to kill me.
Yeah.
This is what they're going to do. When Peter was saying to him that, oh, I won't let them do that. He's like, get behind me, Satan. Like, you know, but the conversation about Jesus's prayer, we see it in John chapter 17.
Okay.
So Matthew gave us this, you know, the gospel gave us this kind of big, Jesus was praying, not my will, but your will be done. But you then see John 17 bringing a light into the prayer on the Gethsemane. And that prayer was glorify your son because I have completed what you wanted me to do. Bring them into one with us. Keep them from the world. Let them know that you love me just the way you love them. You see, the heart of what he was doing was declaring salvation, declaring the oneness that was going to happen in salvation. So when Jesus was praying, he wasn't praying like you would say, oh God, I really want a Ferrari, but if you want to give me a Volkswagen, that's fine. That's not what he was saying at all. So he was saying, the hour has come. Glorify yourself. Do you get what I mean? Mm-hmm. And what is the glory of God? The glory of God is seen now in you. Do you get what I mean? So I think read John 17. You see an appreciation of what Jesus was really speaking to when he was talking about the will. However, if you have a prior knowledge that the will of God is about, the will of God is about denying yourself, the will of God is about, you know, like all of those things, you miss the point. Because the will of God, God's plan, God's focus, God's end, God's orchestration, God's predestination, what God wanted for us is salvation.
If that is the case, then do we still have choices?
Do we have choice?
I'm coming back to the subject of salvation, where it imputes or the teachings that we have heard or the way the Bible has been translated for us suggests that, you know, you have a choice to make to come into salvation. So we've established now the will of God for us is salvation. But do we have a choice to make to align ourselves with that salvation? I think that's what we struggle with. Now, when I make decisions, am I aligning with salvation when I make the decision to maybe not as minute decisions like buying a house or having a car, maybe decisions like who you marry? These are the kind of things that people are so scared to do because they know the gravity of how much of an impact it has on their life, on the whole. Decisions that involve your career projection, because some people, the further high you rise, the more interaction you have with seemingly unsaved people, and which might impact your decision. So do you get the conflicts I'm talking about? The conflict of staying true to the will of God with my day-to-day decisions. The big ones, the small ones, you know, and this is where people come into sovereign and permissive will of God. God permits some things.
I appreciate the fathers that have, you know, had the conversation about God's acceptable will, permissive will. And I am not in a position to say that, I'm not.
No, obviously.
I will always bring it to the truth about God, right? And the truth as revealed in Christ.
Okay.
When you know that the will of God is salvation and is salvation to all, when you come into that knowledge and you know that, you become an ambassador, a carrier of that news to others.
Okay.
To let them know that it's always been God's will for you to come into the knowledge of him and that you are saved. Like, it's always been God's will for you that you are delivered. The more you get to know God, the more you are comfortable in the knowledge of his will. And when you know that, oh, God's will for me is salvation,
mm-hmm.
and his work is salvation, you partner with that, and then you spread the goodwill of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? But if we are still where we are today, where we are saying, oh, the will of God is that you marry that person or not marry that person. Okay. When you go into your marriage, you're like, are you taking me to where God wants me to be? Or you're not taking me to where God wants you to be? You know, so it blinds us from actually doing. Like, you're in a marriage, enjoy. You're in a commitment, enjoy. Do you get what I mean? You're in a relationship, enjoy. Do the work, loving yourself. Shape each other in the oneness that God always intended.
Yeah. Salvation is oneness anyway.
So there is a shadow that is still covering a lot of things in the way we think about the way God is. That doesn't allow us live in the fullness that God actually intended for us. Mm-hmm. God's will for us is salvation.
Mm-hmm.
I think the question is, can you deal with the fact that God's will for me, just as the will for you, is salvation? If God's will is salvation, how do we live in it? What does aligning with salvation look like in our everyday life? What the human mind wants is, I hope God will something for me because I'm doing
the right thing.
And then you can have something else waiting for you
mm-hmm.
where you were going.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what I mean? Because we think about choices. Mm-hmm. I think once we start understanding that God's will is salvation for all,
mm-hmm.
it changes stuff.
So there's no mystery to God's will.
There is no mystery. That mystery was revealed in Christ. Everything God wanted to communicate with us was revealed in Christ. I love this though. Not everyone sees, accepts, and know Christ, you know, in his fullness yet. I love that. But the overall work of Christ is not Christ's deity that people think about, you know, it's actually God in you.
Yeah, the scripture talks about Christ having risen, mm-hmm. is now seated on the right hand of God. Even talks about him being our advocate.
Yeah, but being on the right hand of God, is that a physical?
Is it a position?
Is it a position? Jesus said where he is sat, that's where you are too. You know, you and him. You are sat with him in heavenly places, trying to talk about your authority. It's talking about who you are, you know. Right. It's like when you say, this is the writer. Like, mm-hmm. it sometimes is relationship. You know, if somebody wants to describe me now, or describe, you know, somebody who is dirty, you know, and they say, oh, this person is 5 and 6, does that mean you're number 5 and the person is number 6? It talks about the kind of relationship that they have. You know, when you were talking about the career you wanted, like, you know, you can have as many careers as you
want to do. It has no exactly. import on being within the will.
Exactly.
Can we say then that our need to know God's will is somewhat a crave for control, because then it gives us the security that we are aligned, we're in the right position, we're in the good places.
Okay, so I think one thing that we need to establish and make clear, hopefully the listeners will also have that clarity, is that the will of God is one will. So when you're talking about the will of God, it's not in your process,
mm-hmm.
it is in his doing. Mm-hmm. Do you get what I'm saying? Before Jesus came to declare God for all, what we had was God for some people and God not for some people.
Okay.
So what religion tries to do is to get you into a place of, how can you be the one on God's side?
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
When Jesus came, he says, I am the way, not what religion lays for you.
Right.
But I am the way.
Yeah.
Knowing me brings you into repentance, which is the will of God. I am the life that you're looking for. So when you come to Jesus, you have come to your bus stop.
Your destination.
You've come into your destination. So when you say, oh, maybe the reason I want to know the will of God is because I want to control, you know, I want to know what the end is. But when you understand that the will of God is salvation, it doesn't matter what you know, you don't know. You know that this is what God is aiming for in it. Yeah. So you partner with God for that. Look at this interesting story about Samson. When you read the story of Samson, the way we kind of look at the will of God, you know, like when you're when you are in the will of God, you're doing the right thing. When you're in the will of God, you're doing the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
The whole idea for people will be Samson should never have gone to Philistine.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, when Samson was going into Philistine, it was actually nudged by God to go into Philistine. So when Samson was going into Philistine, that like we are thinking, oh, it can't be what. Yeah. But what was the reason Samson was going to Philistine? It was because he was going to reveal something that is true about Christ. How in death he overcame every enemy. Do you understand what I mean? How Christ overcame, you know, that thing that blinded us. So Samson's story was not about the poor decision he made marrying Delilah, or how he refused to navigate where is your head. When you know that that is the
essence.
That's what the story is about. You're not afraid that perhaps you'll be like Samson on Delilah's lap. Or look at Moses, for instance. And then Moses was supposed to take the children of Israel out of Egypt into the promised land. But then you didn't see something happening to Moses. Because it struck when he was supposed to speak. God said, oh, you will not enter the promised land. He failed. He didn't enter the will of God for him. You'll find in Hebrews, says all of them, they still died without obtaining the promise, because the promise of God was always one thing, to pour out himself to you. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we need to kind of know, understand the essence to the relevance of the story in revealing who Christ is and what Christ has come to do. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that gets us into a place where we are confident about Christ being the communication of God for us. And when we come into the fullness of that, we become co-heirs with him. We become co-laborers with him. We are doing exactly what he wants, or what he's here to do, which is, you know, salvation for all. So I love this, because in that space then, when you're loving somebody, you're loving somebody exactly the way you have seen Christ love you. And then you're loving them that way.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what I mean? You're not thinking, oh, my love, you know, my loving will keep me in God's will. Mm-hmm. A choice, the way you're thinking about it. Like your unloving will keep you out of God's will. If you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So let's discover what the will of God is, you know. And when we discover that will, we become partners in that will. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah. It does. I guess if I have any questions, I think, you know, it's still that question of it feels like it is like a drawback, and I'm sorry if it sounds that
no,
way.
No, that's fine.
It's just that, you know, okay, so when we make decisions and we do actions, sometimes it impacts other people's lives. And even though there might be a positiveness to it, there might be a negativeness to it. So just in the same way, someone's decision might affect my life, and it might affect my understanding of my knowledge of God, or coming into my fullness of my understanding of my knowledge of God. And I think that's why we're so particular about the decisions that we make. You know, so if somebody does something that we don't consider like, It doesn't appear like somebody who's reflecting the fruits of the spirit type thing. And so the person's impact, the action or the decision that they made and its impact on you who's trying to walk the walk with God, so our decisions, your decision has an influence on your world. What your world is, your family, your career. So that decision, because it affects your world, so you're bringing the knowledge of Christ into that world, that's you aligning yourself with the will of God.
Okay. No. No.
Because.
Okay. No. No.
Because if our decisions.
The will of God has nothing to do with your decision. You know, the will of God has nothing to do with your choices. The will of God is Jesus. And is salvation as presented in Jesus. And even that salvation is presented in Jesus. Jesus said that in the same John chapter 6, it says that whoever he gives to me, I lay hold on to, and I hold them till the end. So you're not even the one who's going to hold yourself as far as salvation is concerned.
Okay.
It's something that God has done and is a done deal.
Okay.
We live in a world where every day we make choices.
Okay.
And the choices you make, you can make them out of, you know, you have good enough information to make the choice. You make them because your intuition says you can make them.
Right.
You make them because you're confident, you know, whatever it is. But where you want to be is that you are solid in your understanding of what God's will for you is. And where so you're solid.
God's will for me is God's will for everybody.
Exactly. That's where I'm going to. When you're solid in the understanding of what God's will for you is, that will that he has for you is salvation, you it's like you become, I don't know how to put it, it's like you relish it. Your life embraces a gratitude. No matter what faces, you dwell in that peace because you know that
your marriage cannot affect that.
Cannot
affect
nothing.
That.
Nothing.
Nothing. Your decision.
Nothing.
To be inconsistent.
Nothing. Nothing.
Things. Doesn't affect.
I like to say the reason you're inconsistent is because your foundation is still shaking.
Mm-hmm.
Your foundation is not consistent.
Okay.
When your foundation comes to the consistency of God's will, which is salvation, it's like you are on a rock. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Your mindset changes completely. So you don't, when you make a decision, you're more like living. I'll give you an example. If I have to make a decision now and I'm presented with a lot of choices, sometimes I have factors that are determining what I'm choosing. You know, can I afford this? Can I not afford this? Can I do this? Can I not do that? I can get to a place where I'm clear on what the decision I want to make is. And sometimes I'm not clear on what the decision I want to make is. And I'm desperate. And sometimes I just pray. I just go, God, I really need you to help me with this decision. Because I don't want to have to pay more for what I shouldn't be paying more for. Like, you address life as life. You're not trying to bring God into your conflict. I don't know if you get what I mean. Like, you making it different. Like, if I buy this thing, then I'm glorifying God with it. Like, if I have this thing, then I'm glorifying God with it. No, like, it's not those things that glorify God. It's this fruit in you that that helps people see God. So, you know, so God doesn't really care if you decide to wear whatever brand you want to wear. He's not impressed whether you decide to marry a short man or you decide to marry a tall man. He's not impressed, but you can go, oh God, I don't know if I want to marry a short man. You know how I'm really into heights. Like, God doesn't care if you say that to him.
So a lot of times when people are talking about marriage, it's talking about marrying somebody. A lot of times it's a faith conflict. Like, imagine somebody who is a Christian, quote unquote, wanting to marry a Muslim, quote unquote. Is that the will of God?
Okay.
So that's where you find that kind of
tension. So this is this. So if the will of God is that everyone come into salvation,
right?
Because I know that somebody, when they hear this, they go, "Oh no! You don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers." That's what the Bible says. But actually, if the will of God for you is salvation, and you are solid on the will of God for you being salvation, you know the will of God for that person too is salvation. You won't have any doubts when you're marrying the person. Because you know that when you are in that person's relationship, all that you're going to be doing in that relationship is living as God wants you to live in that person, demonstrating the knowledge of God that you have come to know, the will of God that you have come to know. You won't go into that relationship afraid. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Because if you look at Christ's union with the church, that's the whole point, right? The one who knows God came to the people who didn't know him. And although they hated him, they persecuted him, they did that, but it was also that they can know him. You then make that decision yourself. You know, if I go into this relationship and this person is a Muslim, you know, I can see that I'm going to be hated. I can see that we're going to disagree. But is that something I want to go into? You make that decision. If you go, oh, I don't want to go into that because I would rather not get into that trouble, it's fine. The person will marry somebody else, and at the end of the day, the person will still come into what God's plan for them is, which is salvation. You carry yourself and go somewhere else. But if you feel like you want to, go ahead. And I know that this will sound very like what I love the story of Paul, right? Paul knows that if he goes back into Jerusalem, that they were actually literally going to kill him there. Everyone was telling him, Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. You're going to die there. He's like, yeah, I will go and die there. Somebody can go, oh yeah, it was because, you know, the gospel needed to preach. No, it was Paul's decision to go to Jerusalem and die in Jerusalem. He could have decided, I'm not going to Jerusalem. But he was happy for the weight of what was going to happen in Jerusalem to happen to him for the salvation of the people in Jerusalem. It didn't mean that he was going to be accepted in Jerusalem. So if you see a Muslim that you know will probably not accept you, but you want to go into their stuff, and maybe while you're there, they might not accept you in your living. It might be when you're dead. Somebody and I'm being honest. And somebody will say, do you remember that lady? There was something unusual about her. Somebody, they might actually crucify you and send you away. But there's a seed, not of, you know, how righteous you or how, you know, you presented yourself. But there was a seed about the truth about who God is that you dropped while you were there that somebody would take away and reflect on. Do you understand what I'm saying? Mm. So there is something about us that feels like God in something mean is just going to be a kumbaya. No, that's not what it is. God, the world is troubled. There are so many things in this world that is just so wrong.
So whatever decision we make, we might still fall into that.
Whatever decision you make, you will fall into that. But you have a confidence that you are saved. And this world, regardless how it looks now, the end of the matter is salvation. Mm-hmm. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
It puts this... There's a hope. I don't know how to, because I feel it in my heart, right? There is a hope. There's an assurance. There's a confidence that comes with that. I don't know if you get it. Is that?
I get it.
Yeah.
I'm not there yet, but I get it. Yeah. I get what you're talking about.
That's where we are. Mm. You know, so if I'm having a conversation with somebody that says, oh, I don't believe there's a God and stuff, I honestly don't bother myself with it. Because it's okay if you don't believe. I'm telling you. I think I believe enough for both of us.
don't they have an onus? Isn't there a necessity for them to believe? Can I believe for my mother?
Okay, that's an interesting
question. Can I believe for my father?
That's my children. That's an interesting question.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting question. But let's go into the scripture to answer the question, mm-hmm. right? Because when Rahab met with the children, you know,
that was before Jesus, though.
Hang on. When Rahab met those spies,
mm-hmm.
she said, oh, I've heard of this. Rahab was the one that heard, not her family.
Mm-hmm.
She said, oh, keep me and keep my family, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Going to Jesus. When Jesus was actually like sending his disciples out, not the pre-crucifixion, the post-crucifixion, okay. when he was saying to them, receive the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. I think this was probably John 20 or John 21,
mm-hmm.
you know, he said something very interesting. He said, you have all the power now, wherever you go to, whoever you forgive is forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever you declare the gospel of forgiveness, you've brought forgiveness into that place. And then he says, whoever you do not forgive is not forgiven. I love that people always say, oh, so does that mean that I have the power to forgive and not forgive? I like to think that it is, oh, yes, you do. But you know, the next thing is, but what are you doing with the unforgiveness? Because that's exactly what Jesus was saying. Reflect on what you're doing with your unforgiveness. Because you now have the power to go and declare God's forgiveness. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying. So now that you've been given that autonomy, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to share? Are you going to take the love that I've brought, or are you going to continue with what
exactly.
was
exactly? And you know what? If you choose to hold on to what was before, it's okay.
So because somebody what's that like, category of that person?
I don't care. Because somebody like me will do what needs to be done. Mm-hmm. Okay? Like, there are so many things in the scripture that points us to this. Why do you care what is happening to the other person? But we still live a life of what happens to the other person.
We want to know because we don't want to be the other person. But I think that's why we're so particular, because you want to be sure you're in the right camp. You don't want to end up being that person that you paid no attention to. And then, you know, it turns out that, oh, maybe I should have paid attention because now I am that person.
Okay. So talking about being in the right camp.
Yeah.
We need confidence in Christ.
Yeah.
To know that we're in the right camp. I can't give that to anybody.
Of course.
You either have it or you don't.
Yeah, well, we can deduce it from,
well,
when we learn about the word, about the scriptures, or we learn from the scriptures.
No, when you learn the love of God and you are able to convey that love to others, is you doing God.
Mm-hmm.
What you're talking about the scriptures, let's even go to that simple story of the Samaritan.
Mm-hmm.
The essence of the story is that somebody saw somebody who is bruised,
mm-hmm.
and the person attended to the person who is bruised.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So for you to be in a position that to think, it's okay for me to help this person who is bruised, it's okay for me to be in these relationships,
mm-hmm.
and bring salvation to these relationships, mm-hmm. it's okay for you to be there, then it means that you're not driven by, I need to be in the temple. Okay. Or I need to be in this.
Okay.
Because you are confident in what you have and where you are.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, what your standards are and what things that you pursue.
Exactly. I get what you, when the scripture says seek your heart, set your mind on things above. You know, like you know that it doesn't mean that be pursuing church things.
Mm-hmm.
Or be pursuing
meaning the right thing.
It doesn't mean that. It means that let your heart be set on who you really are. Because who what is above? You. You are above all things.
Mm-hmm.
Let your mind come to the understanding of Christ and how you are in Christ. Discover Christ and find yourself in Christ. That's how you set your heart on things above. Some people think, oh, setting their hearts on things above is looking to the finish line of heaven.
Yeah.
But like I said, when you understand that the end is the establishment of heaven,
mm-hmm.
in, you know, our world, the kingdom of God in our world, you partner with God to establish that kingdom.
Okay. I think, you know, we say all this to say, I'm liking the direction you're pulling my heart towards, and hopefully somebody who is listening. I think that we focus much too much on things that maybe don't matter. And when I say that it also makes me think about Jesus, because a lot of times when his disciples will ask some questions, be like, why are you asking this? Listen. And then he will tell them something that seems so simple. And the simple seems to be hard to take.
Mm.
And I think that's what we're grappling with, because religion is complex, and it makes sense that to get to God must be complex. But one thing that the summation of what you're saying is that we need to simplify, and it's not wrong. There's nothing wrong about simplicity.
Mm.
We need to simplify what we are doing, what we are knowing when we come into God, ourself in Him. We need to simplify the purpose of the scriptures, salvation. We need to simplify and make it, you know, it's easy to say there's a mystery in God's will because God is sovereign. We don't know all of God. And then God could mean this by this. And, you know, and we have so many things to buttress that many, even hymns. I remember God works in a mystery. There's so many songs that, and these are the things that inform our day-to-day living. We are impressed upon by these things. But I want to submit by reason of this conversation that as difficult and as complex as it may seem, that the promise of God is simple.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's what we need to come to terms with to be able to break the shackles of religion is that the simplicity of the gospel is that soon as we can embrace the simplicity of the gospel and grace and what grace delivers, it's easy for us to partner with God, like you said. Yeah. It's easy for us to look outside of ourselves and look to His purpose, His design, the ultimate picture God wants to paint. And if you take nothing from this conversation today, there's no mystery in God's will.
Mm-mm.
God's will. It's salvation.
It's salvation.
And it's too simple. It sounds too simple. But just muse on it a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm going to muse on it.
Yeah.
I think we just spent some time thinking about this. Thank you. If you have any questions, don't be afraid to drop it in our comment section and via Instagram or YouTube. Engage with us. Mm-hmm. We want to hear from you.
Mm.
We'll see you next week.
Yeah, we will see you again next week.